Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, hello everybody. Welcome to another reality show. I am your host, Golden Hawk, and I could not be more delighted that you are here tonight with me, my beautiful guest, my beautiful audience. What a beautiful day. It's really profound. There's so much to share and talk about. I can't wait. I actually have an announcement. Imagine that, but I do. I want to help promote George Kavassalis' tour in the USA. So I'm putting it out there in Chicago this weekend. I guess it would be, I think, the 13th and 14th, whatever day Saturday and Sunday is of this week. George is in Chicago. He's coming to Boston on August 27th and 28th. You can find out all the information if you go to OurJourneyHomeUSA.com. I'm really excited. I personally cannot wait to meet George. And also, you know, just for my listeners, and I want you guys to know this. Okay, September 29th, George will be on the show. And just so you know, I am going to be utilizing the three-hour time slot. Like, Blog Talk Radio lets you go over. I'm scheduled for a two-hour show, and I don't know how far they're going to let me go over 2 hours. I'm going to at least try for 2.5 hours, even potentially 2 hours and 45 minutes. But just so you know, if you're listening through the computer that night, it will drop the stream on the computer. If you're on the phone line that night, you'll hear it right up until, you know, either they cut me off or we actually end the show. So I would recommend, if you can, to listen to the George show through the telephone. This way you'll have continuity. And if you're out of the country or for some reason you can't call, don't worry. As soon as we hang up the show, as soon as the show is over, within 5 minutes, the whole thing will be archived anyways, so even if it hangs up half, you know, with a half an hour left and you don't get to hear it, you can listen on the archives to the whole thing. So, you know, I'm bending the rules a little. You know, imagine that, Goldie's bending the rules. But I at least want everybody to know. Another thing I really want to share is a tremendous gratitude to a loyal listener, my sweet sister Susan, who has been in communication with me via email, but really deeper than that. Susan, thank you so much. The questions that you pose to yourself and share with me in emails really helps me to get a grip on my own perspective and I'm realizing it's not holding on to perspectives, but by watching you and the things you share with me truly help me to go deeper within my own self. Because, you know, God knows, Goldie loves going into things. And myself being the number one thing I like to go into. I want to know who I am. And as I hang out with people who question who they are, it helps me find the answers to who I am. And specifically, I want to mention that today I was posting on Facebook. I went for a job interview, and something really deep happened because on my way to the interview, I was exiting the Merritt Parkway, and this huge red-tailed hawk came flying right towards my car, like literally over the hood of my car and past my car. And I mean, I immediately went, I got the job. This job is mine, right? I mean, this is, now, the truth is, I went into the interview much more confident than when I left. When I left, I can honestly tell you it feels 70, not even, about 80% that I did not get the job. And so at first I was questioning the hawk with certain things that, Susan, really, I know you understand this because it was in your email. And it hit me that my personality wants me to have this job because, I mean, the income starts coming in. This is what I know, babies. You know, this is my gig. This is what I do. This is what I'm good at. This is what I know. But it really did hit me that, and this hit me while I was laying out watching the clouds roll by, that the answer of the hawk flying past my car is still that I'm in divine, perfect space where I'm supposed to be. It is the job that's not in alignment. So it's not immediately, you know, the hawk is telling me one thing and I, you know, how did I screw this up? You know, why didn't I get the job? Because I tell you, as soon as I left the interview, I was like going, oh, my God, I didn't hold the baby, you know, pounding myself on the forehead going, Goldie, it's an interview for an infant. Why didn't you ask to hold the baby? And by the time the interview was over, the baby was asleep in mom's lap. And I called her on the telephone and said, you know, if this was a deal breaker that I didn't ask for your child, I mean, you give me the go-ahead, I'll come back, I'll show you that I'm comfortable holding the baby. I mean, I just went into this, like, total self-doubting, you know, schizophrenic, let the mind reel kind of conversation with myself. And as the day kept going on, I mean, without a doubt, my inner being keeps going, relax, you're perfect, all is well. I mean, my father, when I told him what happened, he's completely understanding. He's not like, you know, he didn't give me pressure like, oh, you're screwed up or anything like that. He was totally compassionate, understanding, you know, coming up and playing with scenarios of the potentials of why she would do that. And it just really struck me that, you know what, it's all in divine order. At this point in time, if I'm going to trust that my soul is guiding me on this journey, which, by the way, I am trusting my soul is guiding me on this journey, well, then there's nothing to worry about. That if I get this job, if I don't get this job, then the next project or the next adventure that's going to come into my life, I won't miss it. It'll be there. I'll know it. And in the meantime, I get to play with my beautiful sister Janine tonight. I'm on the radio with you guys. I'm watching clouds roll by, and these master beings are showing up in the sky, and dragons. You know, it just really, I can't impress it enough on everyone that this is a time to let go of what, and this is in quotes, we think is best for us, and let life show us. Really, how far we are down the rabbit hole and what we can actually accomplish and achieve. So I wanted to share that, and now it is my pleasure to let everybody know we have a new third Thursday lineup. My sweet, beautiful sister, Janine Kimmel, who is the author of The Magic Gown, will be joining us every Thursday night, just so you guys know, because, you know, I was initially looking for people who channeled and did activations and, you know, rah, 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 I wanted to bring, you know, all these, you know, like glitz and glams and sparkles. And what I really believe all of us will benefit from, and this is why I want to do it once a month, at this particular time in our history, is the practical information of how we get through our daily lives with each other, through life, through nature. You know, really just about, you know, the magic of life, but from a very practical level. So please help me give a warm welcome to one of my favorite children's authors, Janine Kimmel! Yay! I love. Hello? Oh, wait a minute. Gosh, Janine got muted again. I have no idea how that happened. You're here. Now, yeah, it was on the Blog Talk Radio thing, flipped you back.
Oh, you know why?
Why?
Well, can you hear me now?
I can. Did you switch ones? Oh, you recalled back. Okay, that's cool.
I had to.
No,
all
you're
the
fine.
I was on a landline and all the electric went out. Because.
Oh, the storm!
The thunder and the rain is going big time, and when you said give a big applause for Janine, the thunder just like exploded. I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so, you know, we really want to be conscious. Yeah. No, and you're on a cell, which, so are you in the dark doing this?
No, well, I was, and then the electric just came on, and I can call back on a landline if you want.
No. Listen, if you go out, you're fine. I used to be real, like, sticky about that, going, oh, it could drop, and I have found regular lines drop, that Skype drops. So, no, you're here with us. If you drop, if you want to use the landline, whatever line you want, as long as you're here, I'm cool.
Yeah, and as long as you can hear me, okay.
Exactly, and we can. So,
so thank you so much for that introduction, and I'm in the middle of learning all those things as well. That it's moment by moment, it's day by day. What you think is supposed to happen is interesting because that's not what's happening, and you come to really see that it's okay because you really are being taken care of. You just have to hold on and trust it. And you know, and I've been feeling that very strongly for like the last 3 weeks.
Nice.
So,
nice.
Yeah. So
it does appear to be just the isness if we accept it. You know, in other words, it's not like you have to go into deep meditation to find it. Mm-hmm. I take a few deep breaths. I put myself out there in nature, and I'm a giggling child. You know, looking at cloud formations. I mean, and the interesting thing is. Even, you know, like my father is, you know, it's so funny because if you live with your parents long enough that, I'll just put it this way, I'm living with my dad long enough that I have become the grandchild that gets spoiled, even though I'm his daughter. I recommend everyone living with their parents because he is, he was just such a, pardon my French, a hard ass. About finances, even though, like Scott, my boyfriend, who I was talking to, he goes, well, don't you think he recognizes that the market is pretty, this is a tough economic times, your father gets that, and he does, and like I said, though, I'm still paying my bills, the truth is, the trust is there, if we put ourselves in alignment with it,
mm-hmm.
it becomes our experience, and
Yeah.
I think at this point, that's really all we can share. We can't make promises of rainbows, not yet, because this is an intense time we're coming into.
Yeah, I agree, and also I've noticed that when I put myself out there, whether it's in with the book or with working with workshops or bringing myself to different people, I realize that. If I follow where the energy's going, and if I go and there's something, it doesn't work out like today for you, you just have to trust that because that it's just that the energy's not there, and it's like, okay, I get it, and you just follow where the energy is and is going, and that's worked for me, and you just do wonder, oh well, that didn't work out. I thought it would, but there's a reason. And
right.
Your energy wasn't maybe resonating, or my energy doesn't resonate, and it's like it's okay because it's a moving on kind of thing. So, I love that you said about the practical in every day because that is so true. And yet, the way I think that I deal with things. It wouldn't appear practical, but it's very practical, because I'm very present and I'm just very aware. And I guess that is incredibly practical.
It is. It's the extraordinary of the ordinary.
Yeah. So that was such a great, I've never really thought about it that way, but it is very practical. So that was good, yeah.
Well, and I really believe that, I'll be honest with everybody, if you're not following me on Facebook, I can't even begin to tell you the 180-degree turn I am doing on many of the beliefs that I have held for, almost the entire quote-unquote awakening part of me. Like, healers for me... I'm starting to really get the sensation that most of them, I mean, and I mean most, are actually working with what I consider to be a false light, because anybody, any healer that's working with energies that they're pulling into the body is a false light, because it assumes that we don't have it within us. And friends, we are the cosmos. I mean, this is not just a platitude. This isn't let's make you feel good and call you a planet, call you a cosmos, call you a universe. It's a literal. And in the energy that we're in right now, those subtleties of calling in rays outside of yourself will put you on a totally different trajectory than literally going into the center of your being and pulling the light out from your own being. It sounds like just a little different, and yet, I mean, this is a major difference in how we're going to experience what I consider the next 12 to 18 months. I mean, you know, that's fantastic. But, I'll be honest with you, I have a lot of friends that I don't think are so great.
What I love is that's practical.
Right.
That is
indeed
practical.
It is. It is. Yeah. Because I can't emphasize enough for all of us to know, not to think, not to believe, not even, you know, even beyond trusting. But trusting is the first step to it. Know that anything you want is within you. Anything. And let me even rephrase it this way. Everything you want, you need, you desire, you don't desire, all of it is inside of you. And there's tremendous freedom once we know ourselves to be literally infinite beings. When we know ourselves to be the timeless aspects, there is tremendous power, and it is the truest freedom that we'll ever experience, because there's no dependency on anything outside of ourselves, because outside of ourselves, it's not that it's an illusion, but it's not where the power is generated from. Everything we're creating is generated from within. So why would we call in masters, you know, why would I call in Kuan Yin if I am compassion of Kuan Yin? I would call in Golden Hawk compassion, not Kuan Yin. You know, I don't want to call in the schizophrenic. And so, you know, I've always been cutting edge, and I'm also always willing to say, you know, I mean, you know, 2 weeks ago I was, you know, pushing Lisa Renee's work. Lisa Renee has exquisite information, except that she's calling in energies and frequencies. Her 12th dimensional shield is calling in, you know, we have to send a symbol outside of ourselves. So as much as I love her wisdom and honor where she's coming from, to me, that's not my journey. My journey must be found from within me, must be. Otherwise, it's not organic. I'm so passionate about this, Janine. I'm so glad you're here, too, because I know you share this passion with me. I mean, we've always shared the nature passion thing, and that plays a big part of this.
Yeah, since I was a child, and that's why I always wanted to, it always kind of steered me in the right direction, really, and not even knowing it, which was great. You know, I didn't know, but my connection to nature and your connection to nature, I think that's interesting that you put yourself in nature and just that's it. You put yourself in nature, and I've done that. And what's interesting, though, is that your belief systems are letting go. It's like you're just becoming, and that's what nature is. Nature just is, that's what's so amazing for me as well, because I've noticed that one of the things that came to me was that it does feel as if the change that is occurring is literally letting go of all those belief systems.
I agree.
They're unnecessary. And I remember I did watch several of George's videos.
Okay.
And one of the things I stuck out that I loved, among many things, but it was, he said, to just be in nature and to make yourself available, to just allow. And that's, you know, it's almost like I was thinking about, like, if you were using the analogy of a couple, like some two people together, it would be the difference between someone, like couples that had lots of chores and errands and always had to be doing things versus the couple that just knew how to be. And I think that your relationship with nature is very similar to that, in that you're just, there is no agenda, it's just being, and something happens.
It's, I don't know how it's happening. You're absolutely right, though, but I know it's happening.
Yeah,
it is.
And it's really great. And that's like, that's what I try and teach in workshops with kids, just exposing them to these subtle concepts of just being in nature, because within because there's this beautiful landscape inside of you, as there is outside of you. And so, you know, that's why it's so exciting for me to be able to, like, come on and share our love for nature and how nature is naturally transforming. It just, you don't even have to do anything.
You don't. Just put yourself with her. I'm telling you, I've taken a few pictures over my days, you know, on Facebook. I have a little backpack that I have. I have two little blankets, a couple of little pillows, a little neck pillow. I mean, I literally set up a little camp. I've got, you know, a little MP3 with a speaker if I want to hear it out loud and, you know, not have headphones in my ears. And, I mean, often I'll just be silent and let the trees sing their, like it's a lullaby. And I literally, because, you know, George said something that was very interesting, that the ascension was about us getting turned inside out. And
that's
it's
perfect.
Like, I know, I'm going, because I can sense that my inner world is different than my outer world. I know that, and the part of the transformation that's happening for me now, like one of the things I almost posted today and decided not to, was a quote: when the external world no longer stings, it only makes me giggle, I know I'm connected within.
Wow.
You know, because, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is, because I didn't get the job today, and I started giggling going, and you know that's okay. I do know that's okay. So I know I'm connected to something that, there's an excellent chance, according to George's timeline, next March, I'm going to be walking through my organic portal, and so I can't exactly be taking care of an infant, you know, if this is going to happen at a time. You know, this is just scenarios that I'm starting to run by myself, you know, run by my, you know, in my thought process, because at this point in time, nothing is as it appears to be. I'll just speak for myself. I know it's critical to not think the way I used to think in order to get where I'm going from in my space right now. I've got to change it up, because I know the change is mostly from within that I'm seeing and I'm sensing, but it is happening on the outside. It's just that it's like at a frequency that I might not be physically able to see it with my eyes, but the trust is just, it's just so blunt. It's a blunt trust. I'd have to be kooky not to trust at this point. You know, that's how it feels. Like, come on, Goldie, can you really go back to sleep and not trust? And the answer is no. I have to trust.
Yeah.
I have to. And I think that's, don't you kind of feel like at this point, you know, when things don't go the way, even, you know, because how can I put this? It's not that I have to have a job. The only thing I've been focusing on, in all honesty, for like the last 16 years with like any, well, since 1996, 15 years, is literally I'm going to ascend. So, you know, like, I'm going to get there. It has nothing to do with how much money I'm going to have in the bank. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I know I'm not going to be homeless. I know that. I mean, Jesus, I'm living with my dad.
Yeah.
I have friends. I have a boyfriend who owns a house. You know, these are all. But it's like, so it's like once I let go of all the And not even once. I really believe at this point I have let go. I'm not looking to create my identity in this dimension, because once I started listening to George, I mean, my truth is that this dimension is going to be, the Earth is going to do a quantum leap and turn into a star March 21st, 2013. Now, that's a profound thought, but it's one that I resonate with. He shows ample proof if you watch his videos, and it's like, you know, if that being the case, at this point I'm like, okay, I've got about a year and a half to do bucket list things. And that's, you know what I'm saying? It's like, I've got a dear friend from Facebook who lives in Paris. I'm going to gather my funds. I would love to go out to Paris for a weekend and spend some time with her. And you know, in other words, this is about, you know,
both,
it's
both
not about
longer than that.
Yeah, that's true. And actually, Elizabeth, I bet you is good. Well, and it's like, I want to stop doing all the things I want to do. I'm going to do. Do the show from Paris.
Definitely. You know?
Yeah, that indeed. See, I'm so glad I said that out loud, because I've been thinking about this.
Oh, and I've been thinking about that for you. You know,
oh,
just
really?
Yeah, radio shows from different places and fun places.
Right.
And,
right.
Yeah.
Well, like Lilu, like that woman Lilu Masi, or she does. She's a traveling show, and things just fall into place for her. I mean, indeed. Nama, thank you so much for, because what I have, you know, I have fears around this, but at this point they're not even fears. It's really about, you know, soak up all of life, Goldie. For all of us, though, all of us. I don't tell you this to put you in fear, and I don't tell you this clearly, because my intent is, don't shut down and just wait for March 21st and do nothing. It's like, this is a, it's almost like it's the, if you ever saw the movie, did you see the movie Conception? Inception,
dream?
Or no.
The dream?
Yeah, the levels, yes, the dream movie.
Yeah, I did.
Remember when the van was falling into the ocean? Because they were three levels down, that's when actually the guy saw his father and came to the conclusion that, you know, he was going to make his own decision and let go of the, you know, change his beliefs. But what was so amazing, because, see, at that point, in those few seconds, there were things going on that were deeply changing, you know, the course of life itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it struck me as that, like, you know, this is a time in life where we can go into the depth and almost, you know, explore wild horizontal things, because once we're in the depth of the vertical, we are so, I don't want to use the word protected, because that's not what I'm trying, we're so more than we are when we're just in awareness of the horizontal. So much more than we are.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to talk it. I got to walk it if I'm going to talk it. I can't expect my audience to walk it if I'm not walking it. So, yes, I stayed as an intention. I'm going to broadcast the show from France. I love you, baby. You talk to me. I know.
Pop the champagne.
Maybe I'll do Third Thursday out there. So you're going to be on with, well, you're going to be on with me probably anyways. It doesn't matter if it's Third Thursday. I'll invite you anyway.
Oh, I have a French name, Janine.
Oh, is that French? I didn't know that was.
Yes,
do you speak French?
It's French. What?
Do
I
you
don't.
Speak French?
No,
okay,
I don't.
Okay. But you'll definitely
I'm willing
be on.
To learn.
Yeah. I hear you, sweetheart. Totally hear you.
No,
I mean,
I was just thinking today, you know, knowing I was talking to you, but there was like a dialogue going on in my head, and I was really hearing that the thinking process as we know it is not the thinking process that is useful or is in this new place, or and that you even used the word that I don't see, but it is in the unseen, but you know, you can be physically surrounded in nature or present here, but it is in the thinking process as I used to know thinking, and or a lot of people probably think it is, and
exactly.
it's just this sensory, this feeling, this internal, like, compass or knowing. And
yeah.
beyond that, I really can't sort of explain it. But
yeah.
And I love how you, over the course of, like, the last couple of interviews, like, things that have been said, you know, that I loved when someone said, well, it's, you know, there's just these places that are, they're incomprehensible, and yet that's true. But then I do think that we, as we let go of what we thought was, and we are willing to consider these more, you know, amazing occurrences, the
yeah.
incomprehensible becomes more comprehensible. But,
yeah.
but so it's, yeah, so so it's because I always was very you know, I loved thinking that there are things that are just incomprehensible. But now I still know that that is there's it's way out there. There are incomprehensible things, but they're getting closer. The,
yeah.
You know, yes. Does that make sense to you? The making.
Oh,
the
my God! Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
So I think that, you know, bringing it back, I can only account for this process is that I'm just open to nature and being in nature, and it seems to naturally transform my old ways of thinking more and more and more
yes.
and more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, because it's
so,
almost like it fills up the gap of doubt with just a reassuring, it's all right.
Yeah,
that's how I'm describing it anyways.
Yeah, or just, I don't know, there's a presence of truth
yeah.
in nature that I've always sensed as a child. I always felt like that nature held this truth, and that it was like sort of, you know, and so it taught me. It just kept teaching me this ability to let go of, like, these fixed perceptions. And so, yeah, I mean, that's, and I'm still very much in the learning process because, you know, it's like I was excited about talking to you tonight because I was like, I love that we're speaking, but it's a letting it happen thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no textbook. There's no studying it. It's just happening. So.
Yeah. I had another guest that you know, she's been on before. A lovely guest, Sade from Canada. She's Native American. She's such a beautiful soul. I feel sisterhood with her. And she texted me back. She was like, you know, I was like, oh, you want to come on the show on September 15th? She's like, yeah. And she goes, I felt really unprepared last time. Let's plan. And I was like, I love you, sweet sister, but you know what? Trust. You know,
yeah.
If we're unprepared, okay. I was like, I said, all I'm compelled to do is talk about what's happening right now. And for you, it'll
yeah.
be September 15th right now. I mean, that's, and I'm not saying we can't reference the past because what was the name of that girl that we had that conversation with about the girl with the two kids? I've been wanting to talk to you on the air about this for like 3 weeks or a month or,
remind me more.
She was kidnapped at 11 years old.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
The cops went, and they didn't look in the backyard, and it was the most profound story because...
Yes, of how could that possibly happen because...
Yes.
Yeah, because
I
you
mean,
were telling me, yeah, the girl who had the two children, and she was in the backyard, and no matter how many times the cops came, they never went back there. Ever.
They never,
yeah.
I mean, and the ones that didn't question that they saw, you know, electricity cords going into certain things. I mean, the guy's got ankle bracelets for, you know, for molesting children, and they're not questioning why there's two tents set up in their backyard. And the reason why I bring this up is because me and Janine had this incredibly deep conversation one night that I'm not saying I want us to reenact it, but I wanted to share it with the audience because the energy that is on the planet right now is really, for the first time ever, like, the hand is quicker than the eye. There is a lot that is being portrayed as one thing, and every nerve ending and cell in my body says, but that's not what's going on. I don't know. It's almost like one of the things George talks about is being a sword holder, which is the ability to see through bullshit, basically, and to see truth. I have had this ability my whole life, and I can't even tell you how many times I've gotten in trouble for it. People, you know, lying to my face, and I'd be like, I know you're lying, and they'd be like, how dare you say I'm lying? And, you know, I'd go, listen, you can deny it all you want. Because I don't necessarily know what they're lying, per se, like what the truth is or where the lie occurs. I just know I feel it in my physical being when someone lies, and that includes things I see on TV. Like, I posted something, I don't know if you saw the other day. Did you see that there is now the ability through holographic technology?
Oh, I did. I saw that, yeah.
To hologram a city?
Oh, my God.
Did you watch the video? I don't know if you watched the video.
No, I saw the post, and I kind of just got, like, the sense of what you were showing, but I didn't watch it, but...
In China, they holographed the city from a bridge where the Chinese are walking across the bridge going, oh, look at that. That's not a real city. Like,
it was just a hologram.
It was just a hologram. Now, you know, when you think about that, that means so much of what we – see, if you're only relying on your five senses at this point of the journey – you know, in all honesty, you might as well just write sucker across your forehead because I promise you, you're going to get duped. You got to start trusting. It's imperative simply because that's what time it is. The time is we are awakening to our 12-strand DNA. So go beyond. The five senses are based on a 2-strand DNA. There's like 144,000 senses when we're 12-strand turned on. So... you know, I'm not saying that we're still not going to get duped. I mean, I could still get fooled, definitely, but I'm aware that just because I see something, hear something, even touch something, doesn't mean it's what the first thing my brain tells me it is.
Yeah, I like the sword carrier.
Cool. Yeah, I'm going to bring that up. I know I'm a sword carrier because there are just certain things, and I've never, you know, you don't really want to, it's not something I've ever been bragged about because, in all honesty, in a world that was in a lot of sleepiness, it's not like I've ever been praised for this. If anything, I've lost friends because of this, people have gotten pissed off at me because of this, and yet I still knew what I knew deep inside. And I've always, you know, been like, oh, I'm sorry you're pissed off. Because I'm not looking to make people feel bad about, you know, if I don't feel the truth is coming from them. I'm looking more, why can't we just open up and talk about the truth? I can take it. You know what I mean? Because if you really don't like me, I'm okay with that. Do you want to talk about that? You know, or do you just want to sit there and smile on your face while you're throwing, you know, energetic daggers at me? Because I can feel that. And I'm, you know, I'm really not into that. But if we talk about it, maybe we can heal something here. You know, maybe we can come to a neutrality on this. And because that's the point of why we're here, to come back into balance so we can ascend with Mother Earth, you know?
Yeah, what I tell people, and I, you know, like I like to practice what I talk about as well. But I always say
I know you do.
That if you're capable of having the uncomfortable conversation, it's really good. Like, you know, because a lot of people avoid the uncomfortable conversation, but I think it's the turning point, you know, and it's the clarity point, and it's the truth-telling point, and it's, you know, it's great.
It's breaking out of paradigms that are keeping us small.
Yeah, and the more comfortable you get at having the uncomfortable conversation, they're really not that uncomfortable.
That's exactly right. Right on. Absolutely. Absolutely, that is absolute truth. I mean, and I know from just talking about things on the show that I would have never, I mean, I totally resonate with that. Okay, so I just want to jump back for a sec. So this, do you remember her name? Or does anybody out there who's listening to the show remember the woman's name who was basically raising two kids from, you know, this child molester who was in the backyard? It was real big news for a while.
Because I don't remember her name. I want to say Jay. Jay or something.
Dupre? Yeah. Well, if anybody remembers, feel free to call it and, you know. But the reason why I want to talk about it is the fact that there were 60 visits from, you know, the parole officers. They didn't catch, you know, this gentleman with this woman behind, you know, this woman who had bore his two children. The cops were actually called from a neighbor saying, you know, there are children's toys and two tents in his backyard. The cop gets to the house, talks to this guy, and actually never goes into the backyard, which is what he got the call from. Uh-huh. Now, these are the type of things that me and Janine, when I was talking to her, I said, in my humble opinion, the only way that could happen is because when they got to this house, it's like they were being mind erased. They just literally didn't remember that that's what they were at the house for. In other words, there's a technology of mind control out there that is out there, and the publicity around this case really supports that people can be controlled, their minds can be controlled. Now, the reason why I'm bringing this up again is not to fear, because, see, one of the things I'm getting from today, you know, because everybody, when I was working with the Lisa Renee, I mean, the minute you tell me there's implants in me, I'm like, I've got to figure out how to get those implants out of me. And the truth of the matter is, don't rely on your mind to have your answers, and your consciousness will naturally override the control.
Oh, say that again.
Don't rely on your mind to distinguish your world.
Right.
And your consciousness will automatically and naturally override the mind control.
Mm.
Literally. Automatically. So it's not about that you have to trust the outside world. You just have to let... Mind control can only be controlled through the mind. Just like Janine was saying, there is a new level of intelligence that is pouring into our planet right now. And it's the heart mind. The heart mind will look at mind control and chuckle. It just chuckle. It just isn't a... It's like a little kid walking up to you going, 2 + 2 = 5. You chuckle at that. You don't go into a rage. You know, you don't flip out at the kid. You just go, okay, you know, when you learn 2 + 2 = 4, you'll figure it all out. You know, run along, go play. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It just doesn't faze you. Come from the heart. And you don't have to worry about removing implants, because what I was getting is I was using my mind to try and fight something, when the truth of the matter is there's no fight when I come from the heart. It literally, you know, the stamp is, it's overridden. They can't touch us when we're coming from the heart. Nothing can, because we become like the wisest beings on the planet, in the cosmos. We are creator gods. And, you know, part of what's going on right now is understanding that if there are things that are happening in your life that, you know, are based in the mind, well, it's just like we're waking up going, okay, that served a purpose. It brought you to where you are now. You know, like I said, I wasn't pissed off at Lisa Renee. I just simply got, okay, you know what, it's my time of having teachers telling me to bring anything in from outside of me is complete.
Yeah.
I'm complete with that. You know what I mean? I don't have to argue it. I'm not threatened by it. I'm complete with it, and I understand that it was perfect for when I needed it, and it's perfect that I don't, and I have no harsh words against this woman or her teachings. Bravo, do what you're going to do. Go where you're going to go. I'm going to follow my heart, and hang out with the trees who are effortlessly changing everything for me. I mean, it's so amazing how simple it really all is, and how often we, myself included, have put these very challenging things in front of us because it's A, it keeps us busy, B, it
That's
makes
right.
us feel important, you know, and C, it's where we were programmed to use our minds. But there is now a new program in, you know, naturally happening, which is to it's not even use your heart, but be guided by your heart. And, you know, people, including myself, I'm always like, well, what the hell does that mean, guided by our heart? And I'm going to let Janine explain this. And explain what it's like to be a multiply sensory being.
Well, that's what I think, that, like, there's an intelligence that I'm still learning, but it's sort of like a heart intelligence or an intelligence that just is guiding you. You are it. You're feeling it. The unexpected is really what's coming, and it's a welcoming for the unexpected is welcoming because it really is the norm. Like you said it though, that the over planning, the overthinking, the overdoing. I seem to struggle with my being and my body is telling me slow down. Your downtime is as important as your doing time, if not
right
more
on
important.
And right on.
I struggle with that because I know it to be true, and I whether you want to call it like the artist's way or the healer's way or the being aware way, but it's you have to come to terms with that. Like we've talked about this where the body says rest, or the body says just be, and you're going, that's not what society's told me.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And for generations, not just this generation.
No,
I mean, lifetimes of generations.
Right.
Yes.
And you really have to, quote, buck the system.
I thought you said a word with F, not with B at first.
Oh,
I went,
no,
wow, listen to Janine.
No, buck the system.
Yes. No, continue.
Because,
yes.
That is the way of being of the heart intelligence, the creative process, a creative being. And so, it's what's amazing to me though is that it works. But it's so contrary to what most people or what we've been taught and I've just had to I've had to let it happen and. You kind of go kicking and screaming at times, but you're like, no, you see, this is where all the magic is in the unexpected. If you just, live that way, and the more you do it, again, it's like having that uncomfortable conversation. It really is no longer like telling the truth shouldn't really be uncomfortable, But telling the truth should be exhilarating. And it should be...
Well, and actually, isn't that what muscle testing is all about? It is the truth makes you stronger, and a lie weakens you.
What's the most loving thing to do? Tell the truth. Why would
Absolutely.
You tell someone the truth or share your truth? Because you love them. So, the more and inevitably, it's so funny, isn't it? And I knew this conversation tonight would go somewhere really great because I was just like, this is just fun. We'll just see where it goes. But it's like, ultimately, where does it go? It goes to love. It goes to...
Totally.
And it is kind of unusual. This is unusual to say, but why is that a new way of being? It really isn't, but...
right? No kidding! I mean, I got to answer that because this is kind of an important... it's part of the journey. See, because we have been deprived from literally love. I mean, we have been genetically messed with. We have been altered from, TV as a media, everything, religion. For the last 5,000 years, we've essentially not been just left alone as we have, and what the funny part is we've all been part of the belief system is, science, religion, everybody's going, we're the only ones out here. Okay, all right, is everybody ready? Bullshit. That's not the truth, and here's why it's important to know that. Because as you understand that there are greater beings that have absolutely been manipulating us, and this is not, again, I'm just going to put, this is a standard thing. Nothing I say is about fear. This is all about empowerment.
Right.
The key about understanding that there have been other beings that have been literally messing with us, and these beings are brilliant. These are not sloths. They are brilliant. Is because when the shit is hitting the fan and there's, you know, earth changes that are happening, which she's absolutely going to go through, which is very natural. When a planet goes into a star, it's called becoming, she's going to go supernova. Mm-hmm. And to do that, she's going to prepare. And she knows that we're on her, and she's holding back because she would like as many of us to go with her as possible. She's very conscious, believe me. She being Mother Earth, really is, if there's an entity you're going to trust her. You breathe her air, you drink her water, you eat her food, you utilize everything about your world came from her. So if there's a being you want to trust, and when I say trust, I'm not talking about somebody channeling Gaia. I'm talking about putting your feet on the ground, your butt, your body, you know, be with Earth. Physically be with her and let her speak to you. And it's not in words, it's in sensations and in wisdom and knowing. But anyways, back to the other thing, because when the shit is hitting the fan and Mother Earth is going through her changes, there are going to be, the ETs and the aliens are going to make themselves present. They are going to be in our skies, and what they're going to do is they're going to hold out their hand, and they're going to give you a, and I'm putting this in quotes, telepathic love. Because we are so starved for this kind of love. When the ETs come down and offer us this, it'll be a mental feeling. I've already sensed the difference between a mental feeling and the feeling of every cell in my body experiencing something. It is different when it's just in your mind, and you have the capability of understanding these subtle differences if you've experienced full body experiences. That's why going in nature is so important. Experience what it's like to fully be loved from your cells, as opposed to something literally beaming something into your brain that is going to get you kind of like blissed out. Because essentially, because of that, they have the capability to focus these thoughts into our head that are of bliss. And because most people have been starved for love, you know, for eons and eons, when that being goes, okay, now come with us. Come with us. We're going to take you to a planet of love, and we're going to take you to the planet of your dreams. And what you're going to do is you're going to get on these spaceships and starships or stargates, you know, not natural stargates, just, you know, governmental-like structures that have been built. And what they're going to do is they're going to harvest you on another planet because, see, they know that Earth is turning into a star. They know that everything's going kaput on this place. So their goal is to get as many of their herd off the planet and onto another planet that's safe so they can continue to herd. You know, and I know this sounds like crazy, like, you know, but when you really feel into this, and if you spend time in Mother Nature and you put the pieces together, you'll see that, I mean, I've seen clips from other people's posts that there are people on CNN already making references to an alien attack. You know, it's like, and I don't post them because I take it in as my own, remember, the sword of truth. I see the truth, but I feel like if I post it, I'm going to attract people from the false light, so I'd rather watch it and then just share my energy of this is happening, people. If you know, it's almost like what David Icke does, and Greg Braden also does this very well, where you grab information from many places, and because it's just me doing it, when I put it all together, including George has been such a huge awakening or trigger for me. It all makes sense, like, wow, this is really going to happen. I mean, you know, I get that today, in August 18th, 2011, we look pretty much like we've looked for, you know, like we've progressed linearly for the last 5,000 years, just per se. All right, it looks that way. But the changes that are coming up, they're going to happen. And the preparing is not about preparing. Don't worry about your IRA. Don't worry about creating a Merkaba around you from a mental point of view. The preparation is about, if you know who you are and have a connection to the inner guidance that's your soul,
mm-hmm.
it will get you through everything you need to get through. And I do want to clause this with, I mean, according to George, your soul already has your journey mapped out. Because some people, it's in divine order to go on these spaceships, because not everybody came to the planet at the same time, so not everybody's in, quote-unquote, graduating, which makes sense. If you look at our school system, you don't graduate in ninth grade, you graduate in 12th grade. So, you know, if you're graduating, then the organic journey is we're graduating into creator gods, that, you know, we have mastered light. And we have mastered light because we've embodied dark. Because, see, that's part of mastery, to know what something is not, in order to know what is.
Uh-huh.
That's why, right? Doesn't that, I am like, blah, 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 blah.
I like it.
I love you, Janine. You're so patient with me.
No,
oh, no, my God.
Good. I'm going,
well, these
supernova.
Are, well, and you know what's so funny? I swear to God, like, I don't know how long ago it was. I don't remember the teacher that triggered me. But, you know, I remember saying, if everything I see outside of me is me, I knew about supernovas through science, because I look at my ascension that I've done it through science, and I'm realizing now that science is really just another controlled religion. There's meta-science. I'm going beyond, quote-unquote, science. But I remember saying, if supernova is, everything is outside is me, a supernova, what would that be? And when I meditated on it, I literally got, it is a being who is self-actualized.
Mm.
Like Maslow?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I think also, no, that's great, and I think that, that, you know, you said what it will be happening. I think it's already happening.
Yeah. Agreed, yes.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, yeah. And it has been happening, and...
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it was about 3 weeks ago, I recall, I was getting, talking to someone, and I was, you know, very accelerated. And I remember thinking, and I even verbalized it, that I was like, oh, I'm going supernova with like the way
nice.
I was feeling. The way I was feeling. And then I was like, wow, it's already in my consciousness, you know, that.
Exactly.
That, yeah. And
because you are. And see, that's, and now, see, that's what, because, you know, it's not like you have to study these things. You don't have to know them from a
yeah.
linear point of view. That nature will put this in you, so, because it is you. If it is your soul's journey, we are going supernova, Janine. We are literally going, because that's what the whole idea of being turned inside out is. You know, you break down, you squeeze down to a single point, which is the zero point, and then you pop from inside out. You know,
I mean, it's
brilliant, which, you know, like,
literally,
I like using that. You know, exactly. Exactly. It is, you know, God, I'm so excited, because I'm like, what kind of orgasm is that going to be like?
Be like, where's Goldie? Oh, she went supernova.
She was in the woods. Last I saw her, you know, she went to a little private spot, and then we saw this big light shine. I mean, it's truly, yeah, the magic behind this is like, you know, can you believe we're talking about this? And we're not talking about a movie, and it's not just a book, but we are talking about literally the trajectory of humanity itself.
Yeah, I believe it.
I mean, too.
I've been thinking and feeling it for years, and, you know, the people that I respect, that when they talk, it may sound outrageous to other people, and yet I was like, yeah, that sounds so accurate. You know, like this guy,
Bill Gardner,
he talks about, you'll just know, and he used to talk about the supernova out there that sort of kind of paralleling us, you know, and NASA posts these things about the supernovas, and so yeah, it's been very much like in my awareness, and I do think that we are that. We are what is out there is what we are, and
yeah.
You know, and it's funny because fucking the system is a natural tendency that you really need to take in order to, you know, drop all these belief systems and
be open
to these concepts that, you know, might not be so popular. But I just think that's the only way. If it's the only way, it really can happen. And I do find that, and you, I think you said this today, but having a sense of humor is really important.
Yeah. Because, yeah, so true.
Because,
yeah.
Just keeping it light and being able to really, you know, I have a feeling that's a big strong point in terms of when we might be confronted with aliens.
Right,
right. Yeah. I'm a natural fuck the system person, and I'm also very natural at making sort of jokes, and it would just be like, you know, I could just see them not getting it. It would just be like, what's wrong with her? What's wrong with her? This is not funny.
Exactly. Well, you know, it's so funny. If you think about it, laughter comes from a sensation, not from a thought.
Right.
Thinking doesn't produce it.
And it would also be like, well, we don't need a clown on board.
Yeah, but we need light on board. And it is, I mean, because I, you know, it's so funny, too, because just the clowns for me have always been creepy. I don't know why.
I mean, like someone who's funny, you know. I just find that.
Be on board my ship. Are you kidding me? I would. Well, and it's so funny because as a kid, I can remember calling my mom like midnight. I'm with like three of my friends, and this is in my teen years when I was drinking and, you know, doing all sorts of trouble. And, you know, it turned out I thought I had a ride home, but I didn't. And it's like, Ma, can you come pick me up? And she would scream, you know, God bless it, you better start walking now. I'll pick you up wherever I pick you up. I mean, she was such a general and a tough ass, and I loved her. And we'd be walking, and my friends would be like, you know, aren't you scared? And I'd be like cracking up going, you know, I react to fear often by cracking up.
Yeah.
I swear it's how my body is wired. And they'd be like, why are you laughing? And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I'm going to get my ass kicked, basically. I might as well. I'm just going to laugh about it. And I have always found that, you know, she never kicked my ass, really. She was just pissed off she had to come get me. But to her, God bless her, she always came and got me. And, you know, she just, we were a family that allowed ourselves to express our anger. We weren't told, you know, suppress it, keep smiling, pretend it's good. She was pissed, and she screamed about it, and she always raised us to say, you've got a voice in this family, too. So
yeah,
we were all a bunch of, go ahead.
No, the fact that you could call her shows you that, you know, yelling
as
at you
team.
Really, yeah. And
you're
also,
right. You're
she
absolutely
was available.
Right.
She really was
absolutely.
Available.
Absolutely. Exactly.
You know?
Janine, I love that you catch the subtle. And you always do. You do. It's because that's exactly right. I knew I could call her. I mean, she was my best friend. She supported me in ways, but always let me fall down first. And I'm telling you, there is brilliant. What I'm starting to learn from George is that the stuff I have gone through, like getting my ass kicked by five people when I was 15, getting chased in a car, you know, a year ago with Alana, these are literally times when I was understanding my own power or I was giving it away. Like, when I got beat up at 15, I did not fight at all. I curled up in a ball and prayed for it to stop. When I was getting chased and thought about when I had curled up in a ball, I literally went, you want me this time? Come get me. And while you're coming to get me, be prepared that you could die too. Because I'm going to go through red lights.
And I have my sword.
Pardon? And I have my sword. Well, the truth is, which is what I'm starting to learn, is that nothing can get me if I'm centered in myself. Because being centered in myself then becomes that which is outside of me. Because I would like to say that that whole gang, I'm not a victim of that gang. I played a control game with my girlfriend Alana, and because she was in a controlling relationship, I went in and went, okay, I'm pulling you out. Like, well, who the hell are you, Goldie? I'm a control freak. That's who I am. and Dylan, her boyfriend, to his credit, was a masterful nemesis. Because that's what you want. You want your nemesis to be strong. And the reason why is it'll show you how strong you are. I have never backed down from a fight, and I'll tell you, I've gotten my ass kicked on several occasions, but it has taught me how to. Now, I get that I ran, because this reminds me of, like, Neo in The Matrix, where at first he would run from Mr. Smith, and then at one point, you know, he got shot, he died, he came back, and then realized, I don't even have to run anymore. So I have a feeling the next, you know, 12 months, something's going to happen to me, because I still have that one piece to get that I am magical without even running. I can literally stand there and nothing can touch me.
I was just thinking that, and I think, it's a wondering, but I'm sensing that there's a lot of this, of what we're talking about tonight and what you're saying, and then even what we've kind of confronted recently, is that I think this we're starting to see how we're almost playing with shifting reality, or
literally.
And I'm wondering if more and more. I mean, it's almost like using a muscle that you've never used before, and you're going, oh yeah, yeah, I just used it, and okay, now I get it. But like more and more, you might get better at work, shifting reality, but it's going to be from a place of, like, the heart intelligence, or, you know, I always love the cup or the Holy Grail, which I always think of as the heart. You know, it's like the ultimate.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
It's like the full
cup. It's within
cup.
Us. It's not not an outside thing. The cup
no,
is us.
This,
we are
it's the
cup.
It's a beautiful,
yeah.
radiating cup of, you know, and it is golden, and it's in us, but I always think that that's very similar to the movie The Matrix, but also that there's the ability to sort of see through the reality that's actually, you know,
it's a facade, and so that's
I think the new place. I mean, I know it's been happening, it's not that, you know, but I think it's becoming more and more and more, and I think the willingness to, like, let go of the old belief systems and move closer and closer to these what we thought was inconceivable but really aren't. Like, and that's when the old realities start dropping. And
I agree.
So,
yes.
So this is just new, you know, kind of new territory, because, I mean, for me it is that I'm becoming more and more aware of that. And it's funny because I'm sitting in a room where I'm literally looking at, I'm surrounded by my paintings, and they're very large, they're very colorful, and they're all of these other realms, but I obviously know these realms because I couldn't have painted them, right?
Yeah,
so,
right.
But they exist. It's just... They do.
I agree.
And that part is fun, because that just shows you that there's so much beyond our five senses or what we think this is. And so, that's just a constant learning and experimentation for me.
The best part about what you just said is, see, now all of us have experiences from our dream state.
Yeah.
And, like, what I'm experiencing from George is the things George says about his experiences are triggering an awareness of my own experiences. Mm. And the way it's going to work is life is – this reality is going to pour into, our social life. You know, like our world is going to start having this reality happen, like whether it's, you know, we're going to look outside our window and there's going to be 200 spaceships out there. Or even if it's just start becoming Earth changes.
Right.
But those are planned trigger events to awaken us.
Huh.
See, that's why to some it's going to look like it's Armageddon, because if that's their journey, you know, the earthquake in Japan, I didn't feel it, at least, a direct effect. But, like, 9/11, for me, was an awakening in that I never had any fear surrounding 9/11. And I literally had in my body, the moment that happened, you know, it's like I looked at my wrist and went, game on. You know, this is, because I have known for many years that the planet had to go dark before we popped into the greatest light I had ever known. So, you know, when you know it, it's kind of like you're going, well, come on already. Let's get this game going. Now, and I get it that Mother Earth is actually held back because we could have been in literally years of like a warring state and, you know, total calamities. And, of course, personally, that would really suck, you know, where she's going to make it so it'll be very intense for a very short period of time. And, you know, again, the gratitude I have to my mother. Not my birth mother, but my planetary mother. Because she chose to suffer more in order to not go through that shift. Mm. You know, so more people could go through their experiences of duality. You know, that's a tremendous honor. And, you know, I'm really grateful. And at this point, you know, we're really... I would say August 18th, we are damn near the 11th hour. I mean, like, I can feel it in the woods. It feels like nature has taken an in-breath. And it's going to, you know, let out a sigh that's just going to rock the foundation of everything we know. And, I mean, everybody's talking, you know, all the channelers, light, dark. You know, it's like everybody kind of knows it. We're just kind of like going... You know, we're kind of like at the edge of our seats, you know, let the show begin. Because, you know, because there's no stopping it at this point. And
yeah.
I mean, so, yeah. So, but my point was that these things that will become trigger points for us, so where we could get triggered into a deeper awareness of, and our trigger points, I'm realizing, are their DNA awakenings, their activations of our DNA strands. Because...
Yeah.
The awareness that comes with the 12 strands is 144,000 senses. You know, not just five senses, but the equivalent of 144,000 senses. You know, so you'll know life differently than when you only, you know, interpreted life through five. It will be a different experience.
Well, yeah, because what I just got was that... that you literally are living in a different reality.
Exactly.
I mean, it's completely
exactly.
different. If you're living in a reality with the activated full DNA strands, your reality is far different than when you're living with the two. And
it's far different.
that in itself might just really be, you know, what this sensing is, that they're, you know,
right.
Yeah, because I think my reality or your reality is shifting, and, you know, there are people that be going, what are you talking about? You know, and I do think that it's organic. It is organic.
Yeah, because she's shifting it. It's her. It's the one we've been living in. And it's so funny because, you know, as George says it, he goes, most people have forgotten the one greatest being that's doing, you know, supporting us, and that's Earth. You
that's
know, we
so
remember
funny.
The
every,
sun.
Every
and,
time you
yeah.
say that, it just is so beautiful to me.
Yeah, well, me too. Because it's so funny how you know, part of the manipulation that's happened to us is everything is hidden in plain sight.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that will support us. Because I remember as I started awakening, realizing that everything I was told to, quote unquote, run from is exactly where all my power is.
Yeah. That's
you know,
true.
And it's how, you know, run from your fears, run from feeling bad, you know, drink, buy clothes, have sex, you know, eat, but don't feel bad. You know, and it's
yeah.
like feeling bad has so much incredible, juicy living in it. You know, I totally own my dark side. I totally
yeah.
own it. And it's juicy on the dark because I recognize it as, I mean, when you're talking about changing realities, when we were getting chased by Dylan, I went back the next day and kind of watched where the car, you know, we were basically driving on the wrong side of the road for approximately 7 to 8 miles through, you know, rural streets. And I, at one point, they were actually physically trying to drive us off the road. So I was driving, like, at the bottoms of people's yards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we went through stone walls, tree stumps, garbage pails, fences. Because I went, I know we were on those people's yards. And nothing happened to the car. Nothing. I was doing all this in second gear, and nothing happened to the car. It was raining that night, and nothing happened to the car. And when I say nothing happened to the car, or the people in it, me and Alana. So, you know, it's like, because that's another thing that I'm getting, too. We're stronger when we're not alone.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah, the experiences I have had have shown me I'm always in a small group, usually 2 to 5 people, when dimensional shifting starts occurring.
Hmm. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
That's so interesting because I was, you know, well, two things. One is I had an experience on the road probably six months ago, but I was driving and I saw literally from behind a pickup truck on the other side of the road coming in the other direction, a car.
Okay.
They must have been on, like, texting or on their cell phone because they were drifting into my lane.
Okay.
All right, so they're coming at me, but not even a heart rate pulse shift in any of my body.
Nice.
I just drove. It was so incredibly, like, it was just surreal, but it was perfect. I literally drove onto someone's lawn, didn't hit this telephone wire that was, like, there, and just drove. Like, if someone looked out their window, they'd go, oh, look, there's a car driving in our yard. I drove over their grass and went down the curb and went back into the road that I was in, and it was, like, flawless. And
nice.
And I didn't even have a pulse rate. Like, my heart didn't even go, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, what was that about? It was like, wow, you know, and it was the perfect example of I didn't think, I just did it, and it was
right,
flawless.
Right.
And later on, I went, you know, I drive by there quite often, and I go, I can't even believe that, you know, it's like I drove in those people's yards right through it, didn't hit anything, went into the street and came back and like nothing ever happened. And I was like, that was amazing, you know.
That is amazing. I know. I love that you do this stuff, Janine. I love it. And I love that you don't need to be chased by, you know, 13 cars. I do it a little more dramatically. But I just, because I want to know that it can be done in just a relative state, and you're because I'm manic depressive. I get it. I go up and down, and so that's how it shows up for me. But it can be done in a very you know, zen space.
Yeah, it was very zen. It was very warrior.
Yeah.
Restored, like, you know, like what just happened?
Yes.
I don't know. And yeah, it was very. I mean, it was a really incredible experience, you know. And yes. And the other thing I wanted to tell you about the two or five people was, I realize that, you know, I'm writing this new book right now, and it's become, it's at first, you know, you're the author and you're right, but then it's now, because it's out there being edited and designed and all, it's become this collaborative effort. And I've had this incredible shift in perspective just yesterday that this isn't my book. A collaborative book.
Nice.
And yeah, and I realized that is really powerful, that that I think collaboration and group and I've never really been one for that, you know. But I do see that this is about everybody, who you touch, So I really loved that shift in my perspective of it was really kind of nice and also very unexpected. Like I was like, wow, that's great, and it just felt like another form of letting go.
Exactly. It is another form of letting go. You know, I mean, it would appear that the pattern of our show tonight is how we are just truly letting go. And you can't teach this. Meaning we can share that we're experiencing it, but in order for the audience to understand it, they've got to experience something where they're shifting. And I'm telling you, it's not, you don't plan the shift.
That's exactly right. You have to be it, experience it, and that's maybe that's where the practical comes in, because there is no way around that.
Exactly. Because you got to know it in yourselves.
Mm-hmm.
The magic that of the shifting. And once you know it, you can never go back and forget it. See. It's like these are the doorways that are progressively turning into momentums, which will inevitably lead us to a fifth dimensional, you know, where we're literally, you know, in a paradigm that doesn't have sun, you know, because everything is illuminating from within. Doesn't have shadow, doesn't have technology, doesn't, you know, the fifth dimension is the place I've always known it to be, which is everything is conscious of everything else. And there's no consumption whatsoever because you're radiating from within life force. So plants and animals don't eat each other, and we don't eat anything. Nothing's dying. Nothing's killing. Everything lives in a harmony. You know, it's almost like I get the sense of it might be like cartoons where if you wanted to play around, you know, you could drop something on someone's head just per se, and it would kind of go boink, 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 and then you'd get up and crack up about it. Because, you know, it's not the game where we have to learn the pain anymore. It's really just, I would consider it pure experience. It's just pure experience. But I don't get the fact that, you know, we're going to be, you know, road running and, you know, Wile E. Coyote kind of thing. I think we're going to be dancing in groups that are resonating with, well, what do you want to create? Oh, I want to create that too. So let's get together and create it. And, you know, this goes as far to say, too, is we're going to create universes and, you know, ecosystems and worlds of our own that are going to attract beings that are going to come and say, oh, I want to go experience her world. You know, because that's essentially where we're at now. We're in a universe to learn how to work with light, and we're going to come out of it. And whenever somebody takes it on something, their own essence will change it. No two beings create the same worlds. You know, and that's the beauty of it. All these planets and universes, which are actually living beings, everyone has a flavor. And, I mean, George says gravity is literally the law of attraction. Because where we're inside this being of light, this being is also inside us. Because we actually are already universes. We're just we're remembering that. But as we remember it, you know, we'll come out of this. Because the one thing that will be new, from my understanding, is we are going to be birthed. When we get birthed on the other side of this zero point, March 21st, 2013, we will be a new universal being where we will have integrated the entire cosmos and the entire universe. There will be no other beings in the universe as DNA-packed as we will be. You know, we will be the creme de la creme. So when we start creating our universes in consciousness, there will be other beings that want to come to our universe to experience a completely whole packed DNA human being, you know, with the flavor of Golden Hawk and with the flavor of Jeanine Kimmel, you know, because we bring our own flavors to it.
Yeah,
could be fascinating.
That's amazing.
It is. I you know, is it, you know, are we like on the Twilight Zone? Because, I mean, remember when Rod Sterling had the recipe book, when everybody was getting on the spaceship and they finally interpreted the book, and it was a recipe book? Tell me he didn't have foresight. It's like, oh my God, this is a...
Yeah. Like, I mean, oh my God.
I know. Well, and you know, I can just imagine, you know, the people who are destined to do that, which is, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, it's just extending the duality, you know, to fit the time frame that their soul needs to experience, because you can't graduate until you've experienced everything from the darkest of the dark to the lightest of the light, and then the final kind of final exam is the integrating of both, you know, because for, you know, all of us, you know, God knows, you know, I know what it's like to be dark. And I mean, in this lifetime, I have done some pretty icky things, you know, to, you know, as a kid, just icky things. And I remember feeling a rush from it. I mean, I can remember as a kid putting a fly in a bowl of sugar and covering the bowl and, like, rolling it down the staircase going, ha, 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 you supper fly. I swear to God. I mean, like, I mean, I was really getting into it. And it's like, you know, that's in this dimension, that's what this dimension is here for. So that's a divine thing in this dimension. Because the truth is, in the fifth dimension, I love the way George puts it, in the fifth dimension, our wars will literally be just minor disagreements between beings. Where in this dimension, it's emphasized
it's
such as
an
war.
Exaggeration. Yeah.
Exactly. And by construct, it's an exaggeration. And see, once you get that, if you are indeed ready to graduate, you understand that the negative is just that you can't have light in a duality dimension without something playing the negative. Something has to be the bad guy in order for the hero to be the good guy.
Yeah. I mean, so much of it is... I think that, you know, when you were bringing up that the perception of something when it doesn't seem right, or, you know, you're almost like what you said about the hand is quicker than the... What did you say? You said something about the hand.
In other words, don't trust everything you're just seeing with your two eyes.
and for a long time, I just, when you recognize that something's just wrong or not right, you know, I think that, you've already moved out of this duality when you just recognize that there's something just so wrong, like, not wrong, bad, but just it doesn't resonate at all with me, you know? I see those people in Africa when they show the pictures, and I said, see, I wonder what that is, you know, what is that doing? Like, why is that here? I just feel, you know, it's confusing to me to know why is that here in this reality?
How do you know that 12 lifetimes ago that wasn't you? Because,
I know.
It's just an experience, and I'm not saying it's not a painful one, because it absolutely is.
Yeah.
But when we don't put the value that pain doesn't teach us, because pain does teach us. But it doesn't, it's nothing that... It guides us from a space in the third dimension, but I don't believe our soul ever backs away from pain, because I'm telling you, the more I connect with my soul, the more I'm jumping into fires as opposed to walking away from them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with that. And that's why the truth isn't uncomfortable anymore. It just feels right. You know, like, you feel it, and it's like, and I think that we've been taught so much to run away from the truth.
Yes.
That's when I find really people have shifts, is when they're when they're able to have those, that would go not only with another person, but with yourself, you know, that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a dark night of the soul.
It is the dark. And yeah, and I've said sometimes to people, oh my God, in the last 10 years, I've died about 10 times, you know.
Yeah,
and
totally.
And come out. Yeah. So.
And look at the Matrix. I mean, Neo died several times.
Yeah. And it was, right, and you emerged.
And yet he never died. He just kept re-emerging. I mean, that's the whole idea of the phoenix. Because remember, once we know ourselves as eternal, now we're truly free. So the whole manipulation has been kept, you know, that make sure they never know they can die. Because if they know they can die, they're really free. Okay, so the manipulation wants to keep us from our power. So if we were, you know, it's a very small group of beings that are jumping out of airplanes in the sense or doing, you know, extreme skiing. Because they don't want us to get comfortable with the idea of dying. Because if we became comfortable with the idea of dying, we would recognize we're eternal. Because there is no such thing as death. So everything was built around we don't speak about death. And here's the irony of it all, and yet everything about the way our government and everything on the planet is run is about killing ourselves.
Yeah, or the increased constant commercials about cancer on. It's just like, oh my God,
cancer, diabetes, all of it.
People afraid, and it's just constant.
Yeah. Me and Scott crack up when we see the commercial at night. Listen, you can't afford drugs, we'll give them to you for free. Literally. And they'll list like 17 different of your basic drugs, because at this point, if you're drugged, you're controlled. You know, this is all about the hurting, you know, because the thing we got to remember is the beings that are manipulating us, they know what's going on outside of our paradigm, and they're keeping it from us. We can know if we start opening up to it, but without knowing it, you know, because how funny is it? I was thinking about this the other day in the woods that, you know, pretty much my whole life I have been, you know, ridiculed and, you know, by friends, family, and it was always the large group, and I was always pretty much, if not alone, definitely the minority. And I'm laughing going, you know, the irony of it is the minority will do the organic ascension and the large group will get on spaceships or go through, you know, technology, stargates, and continue the paradigm that they made fun of me my whole life as I tried to share it with them. You know what I mean? I'm not at a space where I used to be in a space where, you know, I hope something really bad happens. I was, because I was still in polarity and I experienced it and I allowed myself. I know revenge. I played revenge. Oh my God! On another day, on another time, we'll share that. But we're now. I mean, it's not a pity. It's just I get it. You know, because that's the paradigm. If they weren't attacking me, they'd be ascending. You know, because see, game over once we get it.
Yeah.
You can't fool me anymore. I mean, there are certain things that are still playing out. Like I said, I know I have some. I'm going to experience something where I'm going to have to stand still and, you know, kind of let 13 cars, you know, surround me and my I am will come in. And because I was thinking about this, though, right before I moved to Buffalo, I was staying at a friend's house. It's a place called Barnum. It was basically a low-income housing in Bridgeport. Bridgeport is a very low-income city. I mean, it was corruption and manipulation. And I remember staying at Lewis's house because my apartment had gotten, you know, I got out of there 3 days before I was ready to go to Buffalo. So I stayed with him and his mom because they adored me. And there was this one day where Lewis had gone to work. I was at the house. Now, Lewis's whole family talks Spanish. So I was like a little like, all right, I can stay at his house when Lewis is here. But when he's not here, you know, I'm going to go find my friends. So I was looking out the window. He lived on the third floor. I could see my car from the window. And no lie, there were about 125 people in a circle watching two girls beat the shit out of each other.
Wow.
Now, right by my car. You know, and I'm going, like, I really want to kind of get out of Lewis's apartment. They were all love, but I just wasn't. It was a Spanish-speaking apartment. I was anxious about my trip to Buffalo. I wanted to be with my friends, and those who know me know I'm just not a patient person. So I'm going, okay, and the mom is going, go, you be safe, go. And I'm going, holy shit, okay. So I'm walking down the stairs, and I swear to God, when I looked out the window, but and this is like pretty much a natural occurrence. You know, I'm talking, Lewis used to tell me he couldn't sleep when it was quiet. He's used to hearing gunshots as his lullaby. You know, this is, it's a P.T. Barnum. It was actually, I believe, on the East Coast considered one of the most violent places to grow up. It was really, you know, I couldn't believe I was there, but Lewis was my best friend. So anyways, as I come out of the apartment, I'm walking down the steps, which are three long, like, steps at the bricks. I can't see the parking lot once I'm in the stairwell. And I'm coming down the three layers. By the time I get to the bottom, you know, by the grace of God, something has basically taken their attention. And there's, as I'm coming around the corner at the bottom, there's only about 15 people still in the parking lot where my car is, but the whole momentum is moving to another parking lot.
Mm.
Now, truly, I'll be honest with you, because here's the truth. I'm white, and there, Puerto Ricans and blacks that live in these kind of neighborhoods don't like white people, let alone white girls. I mean, they'll beat you up because you're white, you know?
Right.
And to have the courage to go down the stairs, I had no idea. You know, I just, did I pray? Hell yeah, I prayed. I was like, and I also was like, I am truly crazy. I just can't believe I'm doing this. And yet something was moving me. And this is where I'm starting to even understand. My soul was moving me going, you're going to go down the stairs because you're not going to know what life is really like unless you confront these things. Again, I want to tell everybody, these are my choices and it was my time. I don't tell you all to go walk into the middle of a riot and say, soul, you're going to do your thing. But
right.
I knew there was a part of me that just knew I could do this. And again, I didn't know it at the time, but something in me was guiding me. And by the time I got to my car, no lie, all 125 people were just not in the space. I got in the car. I drove, you know, they were in another parking lot that by the time I drove out, they were on the left of me. I never had to go through them or anything. And, you know, unlike you, my heart was racing like a wildfire.
Well,
but I kept walking anyways. Huh?
But I do think that that you hit on the courage to go down the stairwell, knowing. And it's so funny. I told you this, the bluebird story. I'll tell it quickly again.
Tell
that,
it, yeah, please.
That I was out in this beautiful meadow to just run, and it always feels like I'm decompressing when I get out there in that world of like green and woods and air and, you know, no cars, no people. I just feel like I can expand and so I saw, I just came across this bluebird, beautiful little bluebird, perfect, you know, like indigo blue, sitting on top of a wildflower. And it was so beautiful that when I went home, I wanted to Google the image of the bluebird and send it to my son. And just randomly, I picked an image. And when I clicked on it, underneath the image, it was a quote from Anais Nin, who was definitely, you know, outside the box a lot. And it said, life expands or contracts in proportion to one's courage. And you know, and so I really think that you're going down the stairwell story towards this group, and you know, was an act of courage. And I do think that courage is, you know, if like if you're calling on a resource within yourself, you know, to help you each day, I really do think that courage is a resource that is a great resource. And, you know, the bluebird kind of now, you know, I can see that bluebird and then I sort of feel the message of the courage. But I also was telling you that courage is from the root word which of coere, which is French for heart. And, you know, I think that that's such a beautiful, that you really, it is, it's heart intelligence, it's courage to keep going, keep persevering. That is the practicalness of this, of what we're in right now. And that when you need what you need, it will be there. And then, I mean, small right example on. was the bluebird. I mean, you know, there was, so, and I went
Janine,
there.
You really do it much more elegantly than I do.
Really?
I love you. No, listen, I got to go into the depths of hell to know this. You get a bluebird. But I love it. I love it. I love you. I love it. Please continue.
You know,
please.
I can always tell you, I mean, when I was writing The Magic Gown, this was always so great that at the time I was writing it, my other son, Zach, was, you know, maybe like 14, 15, and he said to me, "Mom, better make those bad guys bad." And, you know, and he was right, because, you know, I had, in order to really have a great adventure story, but also, and my character, you know, she needed, what story would it have been if she confronted, you know, like, a semi-bad guy. No.
A Daisy guy. Girl. Get up against the wall, Daisy girl.
I had fun really going, you know, going that route and creating bad guys and, you know, having the well of unfathomable suffering and the crack of despair and, you know, but, and it's fun and it's funny, but, you know, your story about the stairwell and the danger, that's real, you know, and, you know, and I've been in those places before in New York City and had courage where I just walked down 42nd Street before 42nd Street was really nice.
Cleaned
up. I mean, it was dangerous when I walked down. And I walked right past a gang and one of the guys came up to me and like put his arm around me and I just elbowed him and said, "Leave me alone." You know, and I was like, wow. And I was only like 20 years old, but, you know, I was like, well, I'm tough when I need to be.
Well, exactly. You got to know that within.
That's your sword, you know?
Yes, exactly right. Just so everybody knows, too, there's no judgment. I mean, Janine, your courage is how we resonate. Mm-hmm. It in and of itself is courageous because I really am. It's not that I'm particular, but I know I rub people the wrong way. You know, a lot of people. and that's okay because part of being a catalyst, which is also part of my my duties, is to my duties, my charm. Part of my charm is to rub people the wrong way, and you know that's a beautiful thing. But you know, there's when we're in the lifetime where we're going to literally, you know, birth ourselves anew. Mm-hmm. I really believe that that last particular lifetime it's about whatever needs to take place in order to balance out all the incarnations is what's gonna take place. So, you know, last lifetime you could have been clearly working, you know, mega dark stuff, you know, and that you cleared it. So this lifetime it's really, you know, you got a couple of things to take care of where maybe last lifetime, you know, you know, I was still playing unconscious or whatever the case.
There's
no judgment, but there's a knowing that I know the difference between those who have courage and those who don't, because there are many people that talk about change in their life, and the truth is you'll see them 6 months later and go, hey, did you ever do blah, 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 and they're like, still working on it. And it's like, just do it. There's either you're going to jump off and be willing to hit or garnish wings, but if you don't jump, and I get that when it's not your lifetime to go through the graduation, there's a lot of talk about doing stuff, and I'm just beginning to understand that because I'm getting closer and closer to my own evolution, and part of it is to understand that that's okay for me. You know, I got to understand that that's in divine order, because it used to be quantity. You know, everybody who was in my world, I wanted to basically, don't you think about ascending every day? isn't that what you live for? And they're like, I think about it, but not every day, Goldie. And it's like, and I'd scratch my head and go, how is that? And it's like, because it's not their time. Their time is still meant to be in this world and creating from this experience. And, truly, shut up, Goldie. It's not their time. Again, this is what I'm getting as I get towards the end, that, because there's lots of people, my brother included, my brother is going to go on the first ship that offers him sex and drugs and rock and roll because he's such a young soul. I mean, he's so addicted to the Vegas world. If they're going to have a Vegas ship, he's going to be on it. And that's okay. That's his divine journey, because I've always known he was not aware. But even people that I've loved that, other people that I've met along the journey that, it's just their journey I don't know where Scott's going. Scott might be going into a Stargate, and I keep going, stop it, don't say that. And he cracks up at me and he goes, I can do whatever I want to do. And I'm like, I can't argue with that.
But it's so great. It's so great that you created the Vegas ship.
I know. There will be a Vegas ship because Vegas attracts people like candy. It is.
It's
the whole idea of sex and drugs and gambling and all the. And, it's interesting. There is a Twilight Zone about that as well. What's interesting is when the guy goes, quote unquote, to this place where he's got beautiful women, when he gambles, every single thing he wins, at the end of it.
Yeah.
Have you said? He goes, let me out. You put me in the wrong one. I'm in heaven. I should have died and gone to hell. He goes, I'm in the wrong place. You put me in heaven. And the guy who's like his guide opens the door and goes, no, you're in the other place.
Ooh.
In other words, you're right. Always winning. And again, Sterling nails it with, to get everything you would want in a third-dimensional experience. See, that's the key. It's not about getting everything you want, because in the fifth dimension, you will create by thought process. I mean, if you want a great book to help you understand the fifth dimension, James Redfield's Return to Shambhala, because Shambhala is basically the fifth-dimensional Earth.
Oh, I read that. It was great.
It's a great book of how we create with our thoughts, and it's all energy-based, we don't use tools. But this is, this in Rod Sterling's episode, it was about, money and women being used for sexual objects. See, if you're creating that kind of world, to always have it would be hell. You have to have, you want the push and pull of the polarity because, truth be told, the ego doesn't feel good when it only wins. The ego feels good when it beats and somebody loses. That is part of what the ego is feeling good about.
And that is why we're progressing, because we're, you're moving against some form of resistance, which is learning.
Exactly.
Like you're learning, and hell would be that constant. Everything is, all your great expectations are being met, and I mean, on this third dimension, that would be hell, you know.
Exactly, which is the, you know, again, I get it. That's the opposite than what we've been taught, because what most people in the law of attraction groups mm-hmm. are trying to create mm-hmm. is what George puts it best. It's called a false light balance,
so
where
true.
It would always be good. It is, and most people are not aware of that because most people, if they're still in the law of attraction and still, you know, wanting it to be cars and things of that nature, they're not really understanding the how polarity plays. It's really...
No, that's a huge belief system to fall away from, you know, because that right there is just, like, it's one of the
beliefs... What is a huge system? Wait,
to,
what do you...
To buy into that concept that false light, that everything you want, you get, and you know, all
right.
of a sudden, I start to sense that, wow, that really is a belief system that people have bought into. Big time. Even people that are trying. I mean, supposedly trying to quote help people. That is such. You know, it's just like,
you have to be healed. There
so
could be
distorted.
No wisdom in the disease that you would have to be healed. It is distorted. And,
yeah.
and you know, again, that just kind of, you know, when you pull back the veil, you go, oh, okay, so what that is, that's a middle ground, for lack of a better word. That's a middle ground journey person. They're in the middle. In other words, they understand the fourth dimension because they're starting to understand the concept of energy. But
yeah.
they're still basing it
yeah.
from the principles of the third dimension, which is all about physical pleasure and no pain.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh, okay. Look at that timeline. And listen, this is all extremely new to me that I've been accepting of this.
Me too. I mean, but it's just, but once again, I think what happens is the good news is as the belief systems fall away, there's just this new emergence of, you know, like a new self, and that's
yep.
when, I mean, reality shifts,
yep.
and I guess maybe on some level, that's when the inside starts to turn out, you know, like...
Yeah, exactly.
Which I love,
well,
I love that concept, or what, I love that...
Me too.
I want to listen more about that, because...
Okay, yeah.
That interests
yeah.
me, the inside out.
Well, it's interesting, because I started recognizing when I started intending virtues instead of physical things. That to me is the first sign that it's an inside job, because I wasn't like when I was doing the Holosync and we could do a subliminal message. I was speaking to
that was so great. It's an inside job.
Well, it is an inside job. Well, because, you know, I was speaking to other people who were doing Holosync, and they were like, if I could subliminal a message to myself, they were like, you know, I am abundant, women are attracted to me. That was this one guy's message. And I kept going to myself, okay, I want to find a message, A, that'll take me the whole 10 years, and because I only wanted to record this thing once and have it play for, you know, I knew this process was going to be a 10-year process. And so it had to be something that would work as I was growing, because, I mean, I'm not saying that there was never a time in my journey where I wasn't wishing to manifest, you know, the red Porsche in my driveway.
Right, right.
But once I went beyond that, it was like, okay, so what would I want to subliminal to myself? And I subliminaled a meditation from Tony Stubbs from the Ascension Handbook about unifying my chakras, which, by the way, is a state of being in the fifth dimension. In the fifth dimension, we don't have seven chakras. That's part of a fourth dimensional separation.
Mm, okay.
In the fifth dimension, we have one sun, literally, that shines from the middle of our chest, and that's our beingness. We literally know ourselves as the sun. That's why in the fifth dimension, there's no sun in the sky. The sun is in our chest.
Right, right.
You know. And I picked that, and this was, you know, in 2002. So, you know, it's like, again, but my soul just brought me there. Because one other thing I want to say, too, is I recognize, too, that for a while I would sign my my emails, onward, upward, inward, outward.
Yeah.
And when I thought about that, I went, oh, my God, that is that's the turning inside out process.
Yeah.
Onward,
say that again.
Upward,
onward,
in, upward, inward, yeah. Outward.
Outward. Yeah. That's funny.
You know, I was like, oh, son of a gun. Because I didn't even know where, you know, that I didn't get from a channeler. That was just one of the things I went, oh, doesn't that sound, you know, catchy little phrase. You know, let's have a little catchy phrase.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was like, oh, you're describing the process, Goldie. And it's like, oh. So, again, you know, one other thing I want to say is this show is really geared towards the organic ascension pathway. You know, that's why I never really got upset when I wasn't getting, you know, 100,000 listeners on my show, because I'm really, that's not my target audience.
No,
you know,
I
understand. My target
audience. I completely get that. And that's how I feel about my work.
I know. And that's what I resonate with. Indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, one book matters to me, one book, one person, you know. And
exactly.
If whoever's listening, you know, it's perfect, it's great, you know, that's,
exactly.
I get that.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And and it's, I love that you get that, because, I mean, I was so happy, you know, like, because at one point, you know, I had asked this healer to be my third Thursdays, and I had this total run-in with him at Hawk Rock, and... You know, it was another, what I would call, kind of like a mini test of, you know, someone coming across as powerful because they were channeling a spirit, you know, and I basically looked and said, no, I'm not buying it, you know, like, you know, and I respected them enough to say, listen, you know, you came here, there's other people that want to experience your healing, I'll leave. But, you know, the whole, you know, I am Metatron. Like,
yeah.
I'm not in awe of that. You know, I'm looking at that going, you know, but you got a booger in your nose, and what are you going to do about that? You know, it's like, let's just keep it real here, people. And but, you know, that false light is all about, you know, bringing in the big guns. And the organic journey is about bringing in no guns, you know, it's just about bringing the inside of ourselves out. And you, my beautiful sister, are, you know, you just, you were the shining light. It's like Janine is Third Thursdays, you know, oh, the clouds opened up, have a conversation with Janine, because at this point, my audience is not, it's not that I'm targeting anymore. We're together. We're a group. There's about 40 of us. We're listening. We're enjoying. We're sharing energetically. Whether you call in or not, doesn't matter. You're all contributing. Listeners out there, you're all contributing. Mm-hmm. And you know, Janine, because, you know, there are times where I want to call you, and I'm going to, I swear we're going to do this, so I'm going to just call you and go, hey, let's just do a show. You know,
okay.
What are you doing? Okay.
Because I love spontaneous.
I know you do, and you work it, because that night that we talked about the that woman, Duguay or whatever, in the backyard, I should have just said, listen, I'll call you back in 10 minutes, let me set up a show, and let's, they're brilliant conversations that come out when they come out, and listen, it's the blessing of Blog Talk, they don't care when I'm doing a show, so, and, I mean, but I love the idea that people will know, at least Third Thursdays, you know, it's practical. It's beautiful. You know, I welcome people to call in. I know I'm, you know, I'm literally on, you know, I'm revved up today, which is
great.
I was so excited about us coming onto the show. And that's another reason why I'm like, I should have Janine on either more often or do more shows with you, because if I wait for the third Thursday, I get so excited by your presence.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And I loved not, like, I thought it was good that, you know, not talking almost was sort of, I could feel almost like this building of what, when we talk on the Blog Talk Radio, then what we need to say will be said. And I loved that, you know, that
see,
that felt
you're
like
beautiful.
It was, it felt
I
like it
you.
Was building all week. Thank you. And I would
it
love
does.
Yes.
I
would love when people call in, you know, and talk with us.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and with 60 seconds left, but there are some shows where I'm just like, and tonight I just, It's almost.
Oh,
it's
no,
like,
no, it's organic. It's going to, you know.
It is. Because I kept looking going, are you going to say call in? But I knew I had so much to say.
Yeah.
And that, you know, I'm being a little bit selfish going.
Oh, no, you're not. No, that was wonderful because one thing I know is when time flies, it's like, wow. And
yeah.
Time flew. No, I thought it was great. It was great.
Thank you. Because we're going to do this often, and I, you know, we will definitely get the callers to call in. Definitely. Because,
yeah.
You know, I'm finding that, you know, I'm letting go, like I said, of a lot of the old subject matters and the guests that go with those subject matters. So, you know, like there's an excellent chance Janine will be on even beyond Third Thursdays. Just because, you know,
right.
She's available and I'll call her up and say, hey, you know, I couldn't find anybody. Want to come on? And she'll say, okay, or whatever. You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's just living in the moment, you know,
well,
and sharing.
Well, being organic is the best, and so it just unfolds, and that's really the lesson, you know.
Right.
Just allow something to be that way.
Exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
Great. Thank you
all right.
So much.
Oh, my God. My pleasure. My true, true pleasure. I enjoy our talks like you have no idea. So much fun. Share the book and the website and the Facebook pages. Share everything that where they can find you, how they can connect with you.
Okay. So my website is jlkimmel.com. Just my jlkimmel.com. And my book right now that's out is The Magic Gown. It's a beautiful children's book that I did the art as well. And my Facebook, I have several of them, which is Springtree Press. And then I have jlkimmel.com, and I have The Magic Gown, and then just my name, Janine L. Kimmel. And, love to – my websites are all new, jlkimmel.com and springtreepress.com, and they're beautiful.
And I want everybody to know, too, she has poster sizes of her paintings.
Right.
You
got to
see these paintings. Oh, my God, they're awesome.
I'm telling you, the energy are
doorways. They're natural doorways.
They're like the illuminated world
paintings.
That you talk about, you know?
Exactly.
So
now,
thank you. And they're fun to have in children's rooms because they really are. They're really are
magical.
Full of magic, yeah. So thanks.
You're welcome. So definitely check out Janine's work. And when the new book comes out, you know, we will definitely bring that in and have discussions about that. And
yeah.
Oh, it's just amazing. It's amazing. Life is amazing. You are amazing. The audience is amazing. I feel truly blessed. Truly, truly blessed.
Me
I love
too.
You guys. I love you, babe.
Thanks so
love
much.
You. Oh,
let's
my
share.
Pleasure. My pleasure. And let's see, next week I have this really interesting guy who wrote a book about explaining unhappiness, which is the paradox, he says, that will prove how we can be happy. So that's I'm kind of interested. He's a very gentle man, and he's a marriage counselor. I think he's going to have some interesting perspectives, and you know, we'll see. I've been inviting a lot of new people on the show, and you know, as we found out last week, if I have to put my foot down and go, hey, this is my show, I will determine the topic, then that will happen. But I really do believe that this guy is going to give us an interesting perspective on the whole happiness gig.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited to have him.
I'll be listening.
Oh, thank you. Definitely let me know what you think. And in the meantime, I will talk to everybody. I'm going to post a few words on Facebook, and then I'm going to relax with Scott. I love you all. These are amazing times. Janine, you truly rock. You are my Blue Jay. You are. I love you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So much.
My
I
pleasure.
I enjoy the
show. Oh, me too. I can't even. I just. I love it. I love you. I love the space you create when we're either on a show or just on the phone with each other. You really do create a space for me, particularly. That is just. It is the magic of the Illuminous. It is. I feel illuminated when I'm with you, and that's why I can't shut up.
It's perfect.
It is. And you see that, which is, I love you. I love you. So everybody, tune in. Grab Janine's book. You gotta read The Magic Gown. You'll know the magic we speak of. The story will take you there. It's effortless. Just read the book. All right. I love you guys.
Thanks.
And I will talk, my pleasure. And I will talk to everybody very soon, if not sooner. All right. Okay. And as we say in my world, onward, upward, inward, outward. Have a great night.
Good night.
You've been experiencing another reality show with Golden Hawk. Another reality show is live Thursdays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.